This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome to episode number 3 of Wrestling Warzone, the Monday Night Wars podcast. I am JT, here along with me, as always, is my co-host on the show, and that is Chad Campbell. Chad, how are you?
Doing good. We've already made it further than some Stephen Graham podcasts, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, of all Stephen Graham podcasts, I think. So, we're here. We are coming off, our episode 2 was Fall Brawl 95. And we're rolling into the next night of TV, and that is Nitro. And then actually a few days later, Raw, as Raw was on a Thursday this week. I do want to just call out a few people who had reached out to us with some feedback, Chad. We, in the last episode, mentioned that Johnny B. Badd and Diamond Dallas Page feuded in 1994, and we actually used that as the crux of a few of our arguments. And it turns out they actually feuded in 95. We're going to be getting to it. So I could have swore they had a match in 94 sometime, but I don't know. I looked quick and couldn't find it, so... Maybe I'm misremembering that, but it looks like we'll actually be getting to that feud.
Yeah, and I think we sort of threw out Bad's, I guess, ascension as a decent performer, and mm-hmm. we got some right. Like, he did have the match with Regal at Fall Brawl 94, and then some of the other stuff. The DDP feud is coming up, not in the past.
Right. I feel like they had a match before they feuded, but
I'm sure they did right. at some point.
But on pay-per-view, and I was looking quick and I couldn't find it, so I don't know what
I'm
remembering.
Yeah, I don't think so on pay-per-view. Okay. I went back and looked, and it didn't look like it.
All right. I'm wrong. So thanks for those few people that called that out. And we're actually going to be setting up a space for all feedback for both. I know we mentioned it last show. We haven't had a chance yet to get that set up. So it'll be for...
Oh. Yeah. Johnny B. Badd defeated Diamond Dallas Page at Spring Stampede 1994.
Bang! I knew that they fought at least once on pay-per-view in 94. So another one for the good guys.
That's like the only match on that show that you don't remember.
I know, right? You remember
everything
else.
Well,
I remembered it for the weirdest reason, too, because I remember them fighting before Page like kind of took off. Like, I remember he had like the weird black outfit on or something. Like before he was in his like normal tights that he would be in. He fought bad. Like, I remember it was early on when Page was really getting going as a single. So, yeah, okay, good. I knew they fought at some point. So, I think that's the match I was thinking of. I just thought it was later in 94.
Yeah, so take that, everybody.
Internet pundits. All right, so, but thanks for listening, everyone. And I appreciate you taking the time to give us the feedback.
Thank you for the feedback.
Yeah. We will definitely set up some threads so you can both give us corrections and thoughts that we can read on air of these shows. So, we'll try and start that with episode 4. All right, Chad. So I think we decided tonight we're going to start with Nitro and just a few bits of housekeeping here. So if everyone remembers, of course, we have our awards. We do our match grades. And starting this week, we're actually going to do combo awards. So at the end of the show, we'll kind of give an overall award for like both shows. So what was the best show of the two, the best match of the whole night, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll give individual for the show, and then we'll gift wrap it all with an overall thought on the night itself. So we'll start doing that tonight, too. So, okay, so why don't we start with Nitro, Chad. Where are we tonight for the show?
The big town of Johnson City, Tennessee.
Okay, there you go.
Now, this is definitely a rural southern town. The population I'm looking at right now, 63,000. The arena they were in looked pretty tiny when they did the opening shot. So it's kind of a rural southern mid-sized town in the mountains in the Appalachia. So that is where we're coming from tonight. Live, of course. We're live.
Always. Always, pal.
Now, one thing I wanted to keep track of was Pepe's outfits.
Okay.
Are
you marking these down?
Yes, I am. Oh, tonight, he was in a cowboy hat and bandana ensemble. So we did have that.
What was he there last week?
I don't know. I need to go back because I do want to start marking this. I got a couple of new Chad specials. You know, I got to wear the big boys play counter. And in fact, I am. I'm on our sheet now. I am adding a column called Pepe Outfit.
I like it. That's hot.
And then I'm also going to add a What a Maneuver counter because Vince was hot and heavy with those when we get to Raw.
Okay. I do wish that you took pictures of all Pepe's outfits and made, like, a collage to hang up.
That actually should probably be the thumbnail for our episodes every week until Pepe's gone. Which I don't remember what happens with Pepe.
I think he just vanishes as long as he becomes active. He's just gone. Like, I think Pepe's there as long as he's announcing. Do you think he held him the whole show?
Yeah, I wonder about that. And, like, he had to travel with him. So, like,
right.
Pepe is flying in the hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
Which, whether the hotel room was pet friendly or not, I guess Mongo didn't care.
No way, baby. Pepe comes with me.
And then, I'm sure Mongo, I got a trip to Disney World coming up. I'm fretting over having, little kids, like, where they'll get burned out and stuff. Can you imagine this dog being on set at, like, 3 p.m. for an 8 o'clock show? I mean, what?
Well, do you think he had, it must have, like, a handler or something, right? That probably
I would assume, yeah. But who's paying for that? Where the hell was Pepe during all the prep work? And then even during the show, like, what's going on? Because, no, when they do cut back to him, I think in this show, at the end and stuff, I don't recall seeing Pepe there.
Right, so maybe he's just there for the intro.
For the intro, and then he disappears.
Yeah, it doesn't hold him the whole show. So, okay.
Right.
Interesting. Well, if you ever interview Mongo, we'll ask him. I wish I saw him in Philly at the convention we went to. I should have said something. I should have asked him.
Yeah,
ask him
if Pepe was still hanging around. I'm sure he wasn't. 23 years old, that'd be an old dog. Sure.
Well, Mongo looked okay, so Pepe would look okay, too.
So anything about this, introduction? I didn't think we got any great Mongo lines out of the gate.
No, nothing strong yet. Yeah. No, I didn't miss anything.
So then we go to the back, and an ambulance pulls. Now, I didn't understand this. An ambulance pulls up. You know, our final shot from Fall Brawl was the Giant laying out Hogan. Okay, so an ambulance pulls up, and who comes out but the Taskmaster and the Giant?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would they be in the ambulance?
The trolling Hogan, I thought, right?
Okay.
It's like a joke. They're fucking with Hogan. They're saying, ha! Hogan left in an ambulance and we're driving the ambulance now.
Well, okay. I guess.
The Conk Republic, you don't understand.
This is pretty much Giant's first promo here.
Yes.
This is his very first promo ever in wrestling. So, we saw with, the NXT guys, mm-hmm. Talking about mustaches or whatever. you can bomb pretty heavy. Right. I thought this was okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Things considered for his very first one. But, they go really heavy on the Andre.
Oh, Gene is just hammering it in. I knew your father, and he would be disappointed in the, they're beating it into the ground that he's Andre's son.
Gene says he's getting deja vu. Seeing the Giant. And then the Giant, and he even says, if his father was still alive, he'd be right beside him to destroy Hulkamania. So it's really heavy-handed here.
Big time.
As big as it, I remember.
This has to be the peak of it, I would think. Because I can't imagine them doing it more than what they're doing in this right here.
No.
And yeah, it is a funny visual to think of, the Giant and Andre teaming up to take on Hogan. Andre yelling at his son to beat him up. I kind of wish we got that now.
Well, especially after the documentary where we hear how, absent Andre was with his real kids.
He was too busy prepping the Giant to take out Hulkamania.
Now he's taking a vested interest in destroying Hulkamania. That's the only thing to bring Andre and his kids together. And then, but that's all I got from that promo.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, okay. And that goes right into our big first match, and which is American Males. We get the entrance music, which I love. And here's where I had my first Mongo line, where he says, to get Grandma out of the bathroom, she's got some real cuties to look at here.
Yep, I saw that one. I have that one marked out as well. Get Grandma out of the bathroom, baby.
As Buff and Scotty Riggs make their way.
I want to know what Grandma was doing in the bathroom. Like, I mean, you think she'd send her to the bathroom after seeing the cuties?
Yeah, well, I mean, he goes back to this line. Well, I mean, all my Mongo comments are pretty much, bathroom related tonight.
Yeah.
So either he had to go or he was really fascinated by the bathroom.
Get Grandma and Chachabate, baby. There's a lot of hotties out here tonight.
Yeah, Grandma's in the bathroom a couple times. Rooster's in the hen house. We got a lot going on coming up with
Grandma's
Mongo.
Rubbing one out on the toilet. Get her out here.
So now the American Males are scheduled to face the Blue Bloods.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not get that as what I always forget. What was Bobby, like, Earl?
Earl Robert Eaton.
Earl Robert Eaton. So Earl Robert Eaton, we see him staggering out of the entranceway being attacked by Harlem Heat. Harlem Heat takes over. Make this a tag title match. We learned Nick Bockwinkel is not in attendance tonight. He was the WCW commissioner at this time. So we have an impromptu tag match because we're live. You know, I'd say this was probably the only time they really hammered home the live aspect tonight. Now they're running unopposed because Raw was on Thursday. But yeah, this was where they really hammered home they were live.
Right. Oh yeah, they're really pushing it.
Right. So we get to the match. Bischoff mentions K1, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Then he name drops K1.
Why do you feel that, like, why would Harlem Heat steal a slot and put the belts up?
Well, this goes back into the tag division we talked about in Fall Brawl. There's not a lot of, none of this is making sense.
Right.
Because I don't understand why the Nasties wanted Harlem Heat to win the tag titles, and that's why they only attack Slater and Buck. I don't know why Harlem Heat decides as heels they want to be these fighting champions.
The Blue Bloods are just like bitches. They're complete bitches.
Yeah, I mean, the Blue Bloods are just laid out backstage, so they get screwed out of anything. I guess Eaton had to fly to this Nitro for that. I mean, easy night for him.
Very easy.
We don't even see any of the other members of the Blue Bloods.
Right.
Like Regal's nowhere to be seen, or Squire Dave.
That's it. Poor Squire Dave. I did think the one positive was I did think it was nicely done, where I thought it added some chaos to the live show. Like, I thought it really put over, like you said, they hammer home the live thing. So that at least did add that vibe to it. But from a psychology standpoint, just makes zero sense why Harlem Heat.
Yeah, made zero sense. But I mean, they're not thugs.
No, I mean, definitely not. They're not thugs. We learned
may not be the smartest people, but
they may rob you in the streets, but they're not thugs.
Exactly. So then we get the match, and I thought as far as the match was concerned, Harlem Heat was much more comfortable here as heels than in that slow de facto baby face match they had at Fall Brawl. They're aggressive here. They show a little bit more fire. We do get our second where the big boys play. I forgot to mention that was like the first line out of Bischoff's mouth introducing the show. It was like, this is where the big boys play. So he got that right out of the way.
He's choking on it.
He rolls off another one right here. So we're two where the big boys play in at 5 minutes, but I don't think we had another one. So that ends at two for tonight. The match has a bit of face and peril until the hot tag is made. And then we get to the finish where Colonel Parker comes out with Sherry is on the apron.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of falls back into his lap and they kiss as Colonel Robert Parker takes Sherry away. Bagwell reverses a slam attempt that Booker T was going for. He kind of rolls through it, pins him, and we have shocking new tag team champions in the American Males.
Yes, American Males.
American Males. WCW Tag Team Champions. I mean, I thought this was okay. It got over a surprise aspect. I don't know if the American Males are the best choice. The WCW tag division at this time is kind of a cluttered mess. I would like to see more focus hopefully happen soon. I did like this. I mean, for match rating, this was kind of conflicting for me because it's a short match. There's not a lot to it. But I did give that stinker of a match, Harlem Heat, had the night before a star.
You sure did.
And I did think this was better than that, so I went a star and a quarter for this one. But, I mean, it was okay. I mean, a nice surprise, but I didn't think, like we said, Harlem Heat was stupid, and American Males as your WCW Tag Team Champions doesn't exactly excite me either.
No, definitely not. I went a star and a half on this. I enjoyed the surprise. I didn't mind the continuity either with the Parker and Sherry stuff. Like, that was something. You mentioned the K-1. I thought, funny Bischoff comparing Booker's axe kicks to the karate champions he sees. So I thought that was interesting comp. Riggs, you know, they're not thugs, the karate guys either. I thought Riggs took a pretty good beating in this, too. Like, I like the selling.
Yeah.
Pretty weak reaction from the crowd. It could have been mic issues, maybe. Like, maybe they hadn't learned how to mic the crowd in the arena yet. But it was, I thought it was a pretty soft reaction when they win the titles. But
yeah, not a big pop for them.
But it was also kind of confusing. Like, did they even know the titles were on the line? Like, I don't know if they even announced it. I don't remember if they, like, announced it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, basically Harlem Heat issues the challenge right now. And then Nick Patrick holds up the belt.
All right,
like,
so they kind of said it.
Yeah, he, like, holds up both belts as the American Males attack. And on commentary, they did do a pretty good job by saying, like, oh, well, you know, since Bockwinkel isn't here, I guess it'll stand for now, but he could overrule it later. They kind of, you know, gave that.
Right.
It was okay. But, yeah, I mean, I would think the live crowd should have known it was for the title. I just didn't think this was the best crowd overall.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think this is the best show, but the crowd didn't do him any favors either.
Yeah, no, they were flat. So anyway, yeah, the moment itself is like fun enough. It's a good statement. Nitro shows title change can happen any moment. Like it was imperative for them to do something like this. I think this early on to show that anything can happen on the show. So I thought that was smart. But I was not a huge, fan of the match either. Star and a half for me.
Right. I mean, I guess this is our one surprise of the night. Like this is, you know, we had Luger debuting on the first show. We had some stuff on the second show. This is kind of, okay, here's your surprise for this night. So they are, you know, if all else fails, you know, if you're watching week to week, you can say, oh, yeah, well, the American Males won the tag titles this night. But
right,
kind of flat. So then we take a break, come back. We have our Mean Gene interview with Ric Flair. Flair says Arn broke the code, calls Pillman an outsider. And then we got our second football reference in as many weeks from the Nature Boy. Last time he's talking about LT and Joe Montana. This time he talks about Boomer Esiason, saying he couldn't help out his Bengal teammate, Brian Pillman. And then Flair says that, like, after he gets done with Pillman, he's going to kick Arn's ass. So this was a total babyface promo.
Yeah, Flair's pretty much swung now. The lines are more defined than they were going into Fall Brawl, where they kind of split. Now it's obvious that Flair's taken on the face role. Arn is the heel, aligning himself with Pillman after last night. I thought Flair was great here. He was really fired up and focused to the point, got the story across. So I like this. I thought Flair and Arn's been the best stuff we've seen since we started watching WCW.
Right, yeah. Sure. And then we get a preview of some Saturday night matches. One looked really good, Sting versus Regal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also get a rematch from Fall Brawl of Cobra versus Sergeant Craig Pittman.
Why do we need a rematch of a definitive squash loss? Oh, I guess because he jumped him, I guess, maybe.
My notes exactly say why with about 5 question marks after that. I had no idea.
It had to be because it had to be that, oh, he jumped him from behind or whatever and he didn't get a fair shot.
Yeah. it made no sense to me, but there we go. And this, that was all the second segment, pretty short segment between right. the interview and that. Segment three is even shorter as we get Mr. Wonderful versus Johnny B. Bad.
Now, Wonderful.
Yes. We had the American Males entrance music, and now it's one up by Wonderful. Do you think this entrance music is so bad it's good, or
yeah.
is it annoying? Where do you weigh in?
No, I think it's – I can read my notes. Awesome Arnoff music, so absurd that it's great.
There you go.
Well, right in the middle of his psychic storyline going on with Gary Spivey, as we imagined last week.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Johnny B. Bad comes out in his full regalia as well.
By the way, I did laugh at Mongo asking if Orndorff was singing the song. That made me laugh. I don't know if you heard him say that.
I didn't catch that.
He asked if he's singing his own song. That makes it even funnier to me, picturing Orndorff actually singing that song. Like,
yeah.
He's like got this gruff voice, and then he goes in the studio, and he's got this like beautiful singing voice. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, no way. I wonder who did sing. Was it Spivey? Is that...
Oh,
maybe they sung
man.
This. Yeah. I don't think it was Spivey either. Yeah, it sounded like Goulet or whatever.
Renee.
So Paul starts off going after the ribs of Johnny B. Bad. We get a Paula chant from the crowd as we go to break. Come back from the break. This is where Mongo opens us up by telling us this is more action than a rooster sees in the hen house.
I wonder if he's just going off a hearsay or if he's actually witnessed the action. That
yeah,
gets in the hen house.
I don't know if he's seen some action going on in the hen house or not. But
he's just going fucking rooster to hen threesomes and everything else going on.
They are compacted in. Have you ever seen a chicken house?
But do you think it's a situation where like the two hens don't want to touch each other? You know,
usually the hens are kept separate.
Okay, yeah, so if there is a threesome, do you figure that the hens are interacting as well, or just the hens both taking care of the rooster?
Well, I mean, you got the cock and you got the rooster.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
I've been to a chicken house, but I didn't notice any action. Certainly not as much as this Johnny B. Bad and
it's true.
Mr. Wonderful match. So I guess Mongo's right. Like, this match did have more action than the chicken house when I went in, so... Technically, he's correct from what I've witnessed.
I'm just curious where the rooster finishes, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Mr. Orndorff goes to the outside. He grabs a mirror, and Johnny B. Bad, like, goes to kick him, but completely whiffs on
it. It's like the all-time blown spot, and then Orndorff just drops to the floor.
He sells it. That was bad. That was really bad.
That's one of my favorite. I think when we did the live watch of that, there's a GIF out there. I actually put in the write-up at PlayStation.com when we did the live watch of this episode for PTV. It's really, really... I mean, it's like an all-time blown spot. Bad.
Yeah.
Like, I think Bad was just faking him, right? And I think Orndorff... I feel like he actually sold it like he wanted to, but he mistimed it. Because I think the joke was that he was looking in the mirror and saw Bad coming, and he was ducking out of the way. And I think he just did it late, so it looked awful. Like... I don't think he actually was selling the missed boot. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, I think he was just sort of like kind of wanting to swat at him, you know, like on the outside.
Right, and I think Orndorff was supposed to be dodging it because he sees him coming in the mirror. Because he's holding the mirror, and he would see Bad in his reflection. So.
Right. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I think he was like supposed to dodge him, because he mistimes it and falls late. So
yeah,
it looked like
he
was selling a phantom kick. But
it was really bad.
Yeah.
Then they kind of redeem it, though, where Bad gets an axe handle from the top and Orndorff does a tumbling bump off of that where he flips over backwards, like does a backward somersault. I thought that was a cool bump. I mean, not much this match. A bit of back and forth action. Bad goes for a sunset flip. Easy for me to say. I keep wanting to say sunset slip. Sunset flip. Orndorff kind of sits down on his knees, gets the pin, and we have a new Mr. Wonderful. So
brand new.
Yeah. I mean, Spivey's admirations are coming to fruition here. I went 3/4 of a star on this. Not a very good match.
Let's see. I went 1 star. I enjoyed the fake bump. I thought what I did like, though, was actually Orndorff being really aggressive after last night with Bad going 30 whatever minutes. I thought that was like a good, and they kind of pointed out in a commentary too that Bad is so worn down coming off that long match with a big night, and Orndorff is just like right at him, like not giving him any room to breathe. So I like that part of it. And then Bad, I thought, was pretty good flying around. The finish was sloppy. Orndorff gets the win, and it felt like it could have gotten into gear, but never really did. Like, I don't think either guy really stood out. But do you think it was a wise win? Like, I don't know. I feel like Bad just came off that really hard-fought win the night before. I mean, I guess you could explain it away by saying Orndorff took advantage of a weakened Bad, and it kind of sets him up, whereas if Bad does win the title, Orndorff set up as a challenger. But it felt like kind of a questionable loss for Bad, like when you're just picking up some momentum from last night.
Yeah, I mean, they sort of touched on that by mentioning how long the match was the night before. But, yeah, I think you probably could have put somebody else in this spot. I don't know who could have been a mid-card face that was kind of bumbling around that you could have inserted here. But, yeah, it was odd that Bad had this, like, sentimental and hard-fought, grueling victory the night before. And now he's jobbing out to the new Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing that saves him, like I said, is just you can say he's worn out or whatever, took a beating, and Orndorff took advantage. But still, I mean, yeah, throw Renegade in here.
That was on the tip of my tongue. I was like, yeah, throw Renegade in, because they're obviously done with him, right. So they could have kept that up. Yeah, that's probably who should have been in this spot. So after that, we get go to the set of Baywatch.
Oh, this is great. I will pause. Yes, I was going to say the first ever Letters from Center Stage episode with myself and Alan, we broke down the actual Baywatch episode, and it's one of my favorite podcast segments I've ever done. So go back and re-listen to that if you haven't heard it. We really dove deep into the entire episode and everything that goes into it. So
the great Emmy should have been nominated performance from Ric Flair in that Baywatch.
Oh, he was so good in that. He was excellent.
Pull it up in a limousine. I can picture it in my mind now.
He was awesome in that. And he makes Hogan look like an idiot. Like, he just, like, you know, we mentioned week one, Savage, like, dances for circles around Hogan in that promo. In Baywatch, it was Flair, like, just putting Hogan to shame. The actor Hogan. Flair's just out there being himself and is so much more charismatic than Hogan's fake fucking acting bullshit.
So Randy Savage is lifting weights on the beach. Luger spotting him. And then out of nowhere, the Taskmaster comes in. He shoves Lex Luger away and attacks Savage. This is like, you know, your Rick Rude to Ultimate Warrior Powers of Pain.
Chokes him out with the bar,
you know,
or knocks the bar.
Yeah, use the bar as leverage on the weight of the chest. And then who should come and do the save but Ric Flair and a couple of actors?
I enjoyed the lifeguards cheering on Savage while he was lifting, by the way. That was great.
Right.
He's like, imagine just standing around someone lifting on a beach and like cheering them on, like, yeah, you can do it. So the timeline on this is wonky, right? So did they go back to Baywatch again? Because the Baywatch episode was filmed before, or like in the Bash of the Beach time frame. Yeah. So here Luger is here and he just debuted, and Flair is a face and he was a heel. So I don't know if they did another Baywatch bit, or if they just went back to film this specially because they're tight with Baywatch. The whole thing was kind of weird.
Now, I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, that makes no sense because Luger couldn't have possibly have been there when they filmed the episode. I just assumed this was the episode. But, yeah, no way. Huh. Yeah, I guess anybody that knows if they did multiple Baywatch episodes, let us know. Sullivan's wearing a Baywatch jacket, which didn't make any sense to me.
Well, he's on the set. He's probably got a little
from
chair.
From the Conk Island or whatever.
Conk Republic. He's not from Cock Island.
Conk.
I think D'Amato lives on Cock Island.
Yeah. So that leads right into a Randy Savage interview with Mean Gene. Gene, you know, brings it right up that Ric Flair saved him. And Savage said, you know, he tells Flair, thanks for his help. And then he has a shot at Hogan by saying he's an awful judge of character. Said Luger had a hidden agenda in the War Games match with his cheap shot. And then, Savage is committed to this right now, but He sounded a little crazy because
he's losing his mind.
Yeah. This was a step too far. Where now he says the Dungeon of Doom will have three new members: Lex Luger, Jimmy Hart, and Sting. Like, he just throws Sting in there.
They're all in there
because he's buddies.
They're all well. It actually fits him, right? Because he's always so fucking paranoid about everything. So he just thinks they're all going in. If Sting's friends with Luger, and I think Luger's dirty, that means Sting's dirty too. I do like Gene trying to say it was an accident, and Savage like shits all of that. I question your sources. You know, he's like all pissed off at him for even saying it was an accident at War Games.
This was basically like a 1995 rendition of Donald Trump versus the media. Like Savage turned his promo.
Everything's
like,
fake
everybody's
news.
Against him.
Everything's wrong.
Everything's wrong. Fake news all around, according to Savage,
it's
and
fake
everybody's
news,
joining
Gene.
The Dungeon of Doom. So. It was very odd. Now, I think when Luger came out, though, it got a lot better.
Yeah.
Luger comes out. I thought Luger brought up a good point that said, he's straight up about wanting to be the champion.
Right.
And Savage is kind of dancing around that. And then
he calls him jealous.
Savage
he straight up says he's jealous. Yeah.
Jealous, right. Yeah. Right. He says Savage has a personal agenda. Now, last week we did have one quasi where the big boys play. We get another one here. Where Luger says he wants to play with the big boys. Again, I didn't count it, but, that's very close.
He also says, I'm done playing with kids, and I want to play with the big boys.
Exactly. that's probably our biggest shots fired
on the
night, was that line.
I'm done with kids.
So they stare at each other, have a little jawing back and forth. So I liked, Savage's interview, he has energy. He's always going to have energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not awful. But yeah, I thought he looked and sounded a bit crazy and paranoid.
Which I like, though.
Accusations.
Because I think it adds to like the grayish area of the feud. Because up to now, you can kind of buy that Luger's maybe a douche and going to turn. But now it's like, all right, Savage may just be crazy. Luger, maybe it was an accident. Luger is being honest. So, like, I actually liked that Savage went so far off the fucking reservation that he's losing his mind. Because it fits his character anyway. And I liked the lack of Hogan here. Like, that helped.
That did help.
It made it more realistic. I thought Savage and Luger were great here. I liked the segment a lot. I thought there was a lot of good heat and intrigue. Both guys were fired up, on point. There was no wasted time. I liked it. Savage and Luger have been, like, this whole thing has been my favorite part of the main event scene. The two of them specifically.
Yeah. I'll kind of say my thoughts for when we get to Raw. But, Savage versus Luger. Like, right now, there's three things I'm interested in. I can just say, like, Razor versus Kid and Dean Douglas, like, that feud, Savage versus Luger, and then the Flair Orange stuff. Like, to me, like, of what we're watching right now, those are the three things that have the most intrigue for me.
No, I agree.
When they work together, I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it makes sense, but still a little crazy for my liking. It was all right. The next segment is just Hulk, and it's basically what we saw on the pay-per-view of his Harley getting destroyed. This was another weird, we had the Baywatch people clapping the weightlifting. This was also weird where Hulk just drives a Harley seemingly in the middle of nowhere. There's throngs of fans with little papers. They want autographs. It seemed very fake. He only signs one autograph when there's like 30 being waved in his face.
Just one.
So, yeah, pretty dig move there. But that's it. You got anything to add on that segment? It was nothing.
All
we
good.
Saw it the night before. And then that leads us right to our main event, Ric Flair versus Brian Pillman. Pillman's tights. They were a little rough here. So this was a quick match, about 5 minutes. It was a good back and forth match, though. We had some hard chops and punches from both.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Flair did a good job putting Pillman over as a threat, which that's a Flair staple. I mean, these two had a great match in 1990 on TV. So this kind of, they displayed some chemistry before. I thought it carried over here. It was just a short match. Pillman seems like he scouted most of Flair's big move, where he blocks one figure four attempt with a cradle. And then, of course, catches Flair off the top rope.
I like to think, too, if they push that, like, arm and help them prep, you know.
Yeah, scout it. Yeah. That makes sense, too. And then we get a interesting finish where Flair gets the back suplex and then a clean-as-a-sheet figure four victory.
Yeah, that surprised me.
you don't see much on non-jobbers. I mean, just immediately he locks it in, Pillman gives up, and that's that.
Were you surprised with everything going on that Pillman just lost clean and we didn't get, like, a DQ here or something?
I was very shocked. And, like, yeah, I mean, like, it was almost like Pillman, you know, he hung with the Nature Boy for a while, but, yeah, once he locked on to figure four, that was it.
I guess so, maybe they figure they'd build Flair back up after last
night. It seems like they're building Flair up a good bit here. So I don't complain with that, just based on how Flair was used in early 1995.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting that, yeah, I mean, a rare clean. I mean, this may be, you know, you think about the history of Ric Flair, this may honestly be like one of the biggest opponents that he beat completely clean with a figure four.
Oh, right, yeah, for sure.
Like, there's honestly not that many. Besides, like, Japan, I mean, he won some balls against Jumbo Tsuruta on the figure four. But in the U.S. with Ric Flair, this is probably up there, actually.
Right, he technically beat Savage with it when he beat him for the 30th
title change.
Yeah, but he passed out. Like, he get hit with the Nux and passed out or whatever.
Right, right, Nux. So, yeah, a straight clean, you know, completely clean. Interesting. Flair's chest was purple. So he, you know, they laid it in. I thought this was easily the best match of the night on this show, for this show.
Yeah.
I went 2 stars, and then afterwards Flair kind of calls out Arn Anderson, but Arn does not show up. So what do you think about this bad boy?
I went 2 stars as well. I liked Bischoff playing up Pillman's aggression and his edge, and Pillman, I thought, wrestled like it. Like, he's showing that he's kind of stepping up his game and being more angry and aggressive in his style. A good Mongo line here. He said Bobby wishes he managed Flair, and Bobby just jumped all over him, but he did. Like, I thought that was pretty good. it was a good match. It felt like a rushed compilation, though, instead of getting into like a real good story.
Right.
It felt just like a comp of their moves or whatever, you know, like hitting all the quick spots in. And I get it's the compressed nature of the show. I wish they could have maybe gotten like 5 more minutes or something, but it was a good win for Flair. Like, they're clearly building him up. The story's got a lot of focus. And like I said, it's been, you know, one of the best stories so far. So, I've enjoyed everything. Every segment we've seen of this Flair Arn Pillman stuff has been great. So.
And then, we come back for a real quick segment of commentary. Did you get, any gleaming thoughts from what they said here?
No, nope, nothing.
I mean, Mongo did say Luger versus Savage is a jump ball situation. Bobby says Arn's looking for Flair, and then Bobby does his classic, oh, in my headset, there's something going on in the back, which Bischoff kind of ignored. Like, he just said, oh, yeah, there is something going on in the back, but next week. and then he runs down the matches as he signs off. So since we're doing the combined awards, do we want to do our Nitro-centric awards now?
Okay. Yeah, let's do those now. Get those done.
All right. So match of the night, I'm guessing we both went Flair versus Pillman.
Yep.
Your segment of the night.
I went Savage and Luger interview. That was the most entertaining for me.
And I concur with that.
Okay. And by the way, we're going to clarify. We're going to try and avoid segment of the night is going to kind of be like moment of the night in a way. So we're going to try and avoid matches there since we're doing match of the night.
Right,
That'll be either a promo or even the end of a match, maybe like a moment of a match. Just it's something beyond just like a full match.
I mean, like if we get that far, like, okay, the Radicals debuting.
Right, obviously
that happens in a match, and that'll be our segment of the night for that show. But
even, like, at Fall Brawl, I had the finish of Flair and Arn, right? So, like, to me, like, it's anything besides, like, a full match. It's a moment, you know, kind of like when Scott and I do on Mondays. Like, it's just, like, the best moment of the night, so.
Your MVP.
I went with Savage again. I really liked him in that. I thought he carried – Luger was good, too, but I love Savage's kind of depth of the character. Like, it just ties into what we've seen for him over the last 10 years on the big stage. He's just this paranoid, manic son of a bitch who just, like, does not trust anybody at any time and just calls him out and doesn't give a fuck. So he had the best energy on the show. Flair's a close second because he had a good promo and a fun match, too. But Savage on this night.
We're kind of going with our personal faves, it seems like. Yeah. I did go with Flair. I think he's doing well here. And he really acted like a baby face in this show. And that's always something that the fans seem to want to get behind. You know, they always are game.
We did mention too, we'll track, you know, I'm curious to see, like last episode you mentioned you thought Flair's peak ends at Starrcade-ish. And I think it goes into like 96. So I'll be curious to see how strong he stays going through 96.
Right. We mentioned some Mongo lines, but this was, I'd say, a toned-down Mongo performance overall from the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I identified three. The grandma in the bathroom, the rooster in the hen house, and then at one point, I don't remember when the hell he said, he said, Kevin Sullivan needs some bug spray. It was so random, it made me laugh. I don't remember when he said it, but anyway, it made me laugh. So
even on a toned-down week, we still get some Mongo gems. Mm-hmm. Shots fired, like we said, really only the Luger line.
Right.
Bischoff was even toned down with that this week.
The only thing I caught from him was just the most watched show everywhere. We're live every week. Like, that was pretty much a shot, saying we're live every week. But Luger's was the biggest.
Yeah, Luger's was the biggest. So I gave you the Pepe outfit earlier, where the big boys played counter two. No debuts.
Nope.
No dropped angles.
Nope.
So far, this drew a 2.4 rating-wise. Mm-hmm. And what was your final grade?
I went maybe a touch high, but I did enjoy it for the most part. And again, these short shows, it's hard to find like too much hate in there because they move so quick that nothing lingers even when it's bad. So I went 5 out of 10. It felt like a pretty average Nitro. Like, nothing huge happened, but nothing bad occurred. It just kind of moved things along. Coming off a pay-per-view, you'd expect maybe a little bit more. Like, there's no Hogan, no Arn. Like, those are two of the biggest players the night before. No Sting. So, you know, a slight dock down from last week, which I had as a 5.5. So we'll go 5.
Yeah, I went lower than that. I went 4. I agree. I mean, it's only an hour, so it's still a quick watch. But I guess I just think, like, of all the shows we do, if, you know, 5's obviously the baseline grade. I thought this one was a little below average for our matches. I didn't think a ton happened. So I'm a smidge lower at 4 out of 10.
Okay.
So there's Nitro. Now we can bounce over to Raw, which was not Thirsty Raw Thursday, but just a Thursday Night Raw.
It was a Thursday Night Raw. It was taped August 28th, so it's a bit moldy. Go ahead.
Was that the same taping as the last one?
I believe so. Yeah, it was still in Canton, Ohio. So the interesting thing is they pegged this as September 18th, but it must have been the 21st then, right?
Yeah, it had to be the 21st.
Okay. And Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler have the call, as usual.
Right. We get a recap of what happened last week on Raw, and that leads us right into our first match, which was built up, which is 1-2-3 Kid versus Razor Ramon. So this match I thought was pretty basic, but pretty entertaining, too, until we get to the finish. We had a back and forth. Ramon seemed to be really wanting to ground the Kid, which made sense based on their strengths against each other. I thought they showed more aggression throughout the match than you would think from, like, two friends. So that was interesting. Like, I mean, they really were going after it. A Kid actually attacks, like, before Razor gets his vest off.
Right.
So I mean, they're going after each other pretty good. The break happens when 1-2-3 Kid has a sleeper applied. We come back for the break for the finish of the match, where Razor does his fallaway slam. The referee gets bumped. 1-2-3 Kid and the referee are out of the ring. Hook runs down, but our boy Dean Douglas, he does a splash on Razor to his back from the top rope. And then there was a long – I wanted to time this. Like, you know, it's a long time from when he does the splash to when Kid ends up pinning him.
Right.
And I was certain Razor was going to kick out. But he doesn't. 1-2-3 Kid gets the win. Lawler is ecstatic with that on commentary. And this was a surprise for me. But like I said, this is my favorite thing happening in WWF right now, this whole feud along with Dean Douglas. And I like this match. I thought it was good. Like I said, they showed some aggression. You know, it felt like they were holding back, which is good for, you know, a TV match, and they're not, Kid and Razor aren't, quote unquote, in a full fledged feud yet. Mm-hmm. So this was well done for me. I went like a star and 3/4, but I enjoyed the match they gave us here.
Yeah, it was good. King was good here, too. Kept wondering if Kid was aligned with Douglas. And Vince just said, no, I think he just wants respect from his friend and mentor. That's why he views Razor, and he kind of feels like he's getting overlooked. So I thought they told that story in the ring well, too, with Kid just doing everything. You know, it's like a little kid trying to impress his brother, like playing basketball or something, right? I mean, he's just like doing everything he can to win this guy's respect. And Razor, you can tell, is holding back a bit. Like, Vince even calls that out, too. So he's aggressive, but he's also maybe not fully going, you know, unloading on Kid because of his little buddy. And that probably just pisses Kid off even more. At one point, though, Razor does crush him with a pretty good clothesline in the corner. Douglas coming in with the shirt and tie and jeans again, hitting the split, right? Is that what he had, or did he have his tights on? He had the shirt and tie and jeans, right?
Yeah, he had the jeans and shirt and tie, yep.
I do wish, like looking back at this, like, Douglas comes in pretty hot. Like, he's right in the middle of this feud. He looks good. If he didn't have the stupid Dean gimmick, he'd probably be even better. Like, if he was just, like, Shane Douglas coming in. And then, obviously, he runs a foul, as we'll see. But for now, you're right. Like, this has been a really interesting feud. It's cooking hot to In Your House 3, which they talked a lot about during the match as well, pumping up Ramon versus Douglas. And, yeah, the chemistry is there. Razor and Kid have great chemistry, and it showed. So it's a big win for Kid, but it gives Dean and Razor a good heat, too. So I went 2 stars on this. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
There we go. And then we go to the back, and we get the Dean, and he is really sweating.
Yeah, he is.
Looks like he took a shower.
Right.
But he gives a promo where he hangs out his grades, and I gotta say, I was worked by this promo. I did not get where he was going till the very end. Because, you know, he starts throwing out what he gave.
Dumb.
He gave
D for dumb for Kid.
Yeah, dumb, thinking he won the match by himself. E for Razor's performance.
For Elevate, which is Razor's trying to do. Yep.
Right, which I like that. Yeah. I like that. Of course, Dean, he gets an A for his efforts. And then Ian, I can't even remember what he gave an Ian.
Razor, but a no-brainer, because that's Dean will win on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer for the pay-per-view match on Sunday. And then he circles Dean. And
and you pop, because you're like, oh!
I did pop for that. I actually, you know, like, we're deep in the occupational era of WWF gimmicks. But I like Dean Douglas from what we've seen so far. It's been better and annoying, and I think Lawler adds a lot on commentary too, because as soon as he spells out Dean, like, Lawler just goes nuts and is like, oh, he is a genius or whatever, you know.
I think Dean, like, you'll see it in your house. I think the tights hurt him because they're wicked fucking cheesy and goofy, and, like, he wears, like, the graduation gown and, like, all that stuff. Like, if he was just a prick professor, like, he's been here and just kind of dressed, like, you know, in his suits or his jeans and so, like, and didn't have, like, the gaudy I'm a teacher outfit, you know, like, but you're right. Like, what he's doing here has been good. Just this condescending know-it-all, using his academia to prove the dummies wrong, you know. So, like, that part's fine, but he ends up getting a little goofier as we go. But for now, it's been good.
He threw on the gown for this segment, which was weird. But,
he's in the classroom.
Yeah, so he's halfway there. And then he ends his promos by doing the nails on the chalkboard, which I enjoyed. That's something memorable. So this was a good, I thought this was a good interview, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought Dean did well here.
Yep.
That leads us right into our second match, and what a match this looked like on paper. Oh, we have Savio Vega and Bob Holly versus Kamen Tatanka. There was a lot of crowd sweetening, I thought, on this episode, especially here, because you can see the reaction. Nothing's happening. And they're, I guess, were very excited, Savio and Bob, were coming out. We get clips of DiBiase getting slopped, which Vince loses his shit narrating that. He was slopped. So he's very fired up for that.
And that builds to the In Your House match with Godwin, Henry Godwin and Sid.
Oh, my God. And what a downgrade for Sid. When they said that was In Your House, I was like, holy shit.
We'll talk about that next week.
He went from facing Sean in what was supposed to be a SummerSlam main event or semi-main to versus Hog In Your House. They go to break before the match. We come back. This match, there's nothing to it. Savio is dancing around, has a fast start. He comes against Savio, nothing interesting from the heels. I thought Tatanka looked as fat and bored as I could remember.
He feels like a relic. It feels like they pulled him out of a fucking tomb for this match. It's like, he just looks like so just done. Like, he's just cooked. He's beyond cooked at this point.
He's probably worse than Bundy at this point.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Kama is kind of bumbling around. He does get one good kick. This is where we got our second one. That got a what a maneuver out of Vince. That was the second one of the night. Hot tagged Bob Holly, got zero reaction. Missile drop kick from Holly. And then a really rough finish. Awful. Where all four in the ring. They go, let's see, who was it? It was Savio and Tatanka on the outside. And Bob Holly goes for a dive from the top onto Kama. And he was supposed to, like, fluidly flip him into a power slam. Kama doesn't catch him well and ends up dunking him right on his head.
Yeah,
like, it looked nasty. It did not look good at all. That gets the pin. I don't know why anybody in the Million Dollar Corporation is getting pins at this point. Very blah match. Now, we did get an interesting king line as the match was ending. As Kama and Tatanka was walking to the back, where King says Jeffrey Dahmer's mom saved his brain for breakfast. That was a weird line. I went a half a star on this match. Did not enjoy it.
Yeah, I went half a star as well. It's sloppy. It's a sloppy mess. Kama and Holly, especially, whenever they were in there together, they did not mesh at all. Like, any time they were in was sloppy. So I don't know what it was, that they just weren't on the same page, and then it goes right into the finish. Savio looked the best, and, you know, he's looked the best through most of 95. And Holly, I don't put much on him either, because he's actually had a pretty good 95 as well in the ring. So this felt a lot like Tatanka mailing it in and Kama just being off tonight. And it's just a bad random tag. Like you mentioned, I don't know why Tatanka, Kama picking up wins, especially at the expense of Savio. Like, I know Savio doesn't get pinned, but Savio's kind of been the best pushed of these four guys. So, he's got a big match on pay-per-view. These other guys don't. So the only thing I think of is that it's like a heat transfer to give DiBiase a win. But why not use Sid here then? Why not do Sid and Tatanka and let Sid get the win? Kama Tatanka makes no sense. It's pointless. It's a real shit match. I did not enjoy it at all. It was at 5:47, it felt like 25:47.
Yeah, it was a really long plotting match. That leads us to a Razor promo backstage. He's pissed at Dean. He says his Ivy League education can't save him. So there you have it. Pretty basic stuff, but again, you know, well built to feud, and I'm looking forward to the match at the pay per view. Then we get before they go to break, we get some short clips of the tag match, the main event tag match. So that's what we talked about before, where they're showing matches that are going to be happening in the future.
Yep.
To show they're not live. A commercial for the WrestleMania 11 special.
Yes.
On September 30th. So there you have it.
And that's on NBC, actually. So what they did was, I think they took, because I remember watching it, I'm pretty sure they just took the two big matches and showed those with, like, special clips and stuff it mixed in. So it was like an hour on NBC. I think it was like a Sunday night or something. So it was a pretty good slot for them. Like, it's I think it was Sunday. So it might have been up against
It had to have been a Saturday.
Saturday, okay, you're right.
It was September 30th.
Yeah, yep. Okay. So Saturday night, still a pretty big spot, Saturday night primetime on NBC. So, yeah, pretty good deal for them. I mean, I'm sure LT was a part of that. But
yeah, they said LT plus a performance by Salt and Pepper. So they used all the celebrities that
Salt
were at WrestleMania 11.
Salt and Pepper. Like Peppa Pig.
Excuse me. Then come back from break, we get a squash, which is Jean-Pierre Lafitte versus Brian Walsh.
I can already picture the Twitter reaction to this one.
who would think that Jean-Pierre would be a Twitter darling in 2018?
Right.
But, here we are.
Well,
it
looks
completely different.
Someone called out, I don't know who it was, and if it's someone I don't like, I don't want to give him any credit. So I don't remember who it was exactly, but they said, like, he was only like 30 during this run. Or no, maybe it was 98. He was only 30, like, when they came back in 98. And it's crazy to think they didn't do more with him. Like, I mean, he was really young, you know, at that point. And, like, they needed the depth in 98. Like, why didn't they dump Jock and give him a push?
Well, think about, like, how, think about how, like, old. Yeah, like how old that the amazing French Canadians looked.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, he was born December 30th, 1967. So he's 50 right now.
Right.
But yeah, he looks completely different now with his, you know, the shaved head and everything, and did have a great match on our WrestleMania weekend. Haven't seen any other PCO, but probably be able to see him at the Scenic City Invitational in August. So there you go. If I'm a betting man.
But yeah, and even here, like, I mean, from what I remember from the Titan Sinking stuff, I think he ends up running afoul of the click a bit, so that probably is what does him in during this stretch. But, I mean, he's been good so far as well, and we'll see more of it next week.
Yeah, he looks good here. I thought Walsh looked kind of like Backlund.
Yeah, a little bit.
With longer hair.
Yeah.
This is a basic squash. Lafitte's power moves look good. He ends with a cannonball senton. We do get a call from Bret Hart on the set of Lonesome Dove.
Yes.
Him and Jerry have a back and forth. You know, he says, I guess a liar and a thief would get along well together. So
he loves the Lonesome Dove, Bret Hart does.
Yeah, pretty basic. I ended up going a quarter star here because of my non-dud policy, but that's where I went for that. You got anything else to add?
No, it was good. I liked the somersault cannonball to finish it. And Lafitte's been sure and steady. Like, I'm excited for him to get a breakthrough on Sunday in your house. Like, I think it's a good spot for him.
And, you know, the cannonball senton makes sense psychologically for a pirate.
Correct.
That to be his finisher. Very clever.
You see that? So I went dud because I do duds. But yeah. It was a squash. But it was an interesting one.
I didn't. Lafitte had his own kind of skull and crossbones too, with his face on it. I thought that looked pretty sweet. Like,
yeah,
I'd probably buy a T-shirt of that now.
Jean-Pierre, who would have thought he'd be having this huge renaissance?
There you go.
Here he is. He is the guy that I think many always assumed. They missed the boat on him a little bit, especially during this stretch. Like, he was really locked in. He's killing himself week after week.
Yeah, I mean,
this
is his biggest run as a singles. Mm-hmm. Of his career, like right now.
And a pirate gimmick, I mean, it sounds goofy and stupid, but it's not really. Like, he's not really being an R pirate. You know, like he's just a dick. Like, he's stealing stuff or whatever. Like,
yeah, I mean,
he's dressed like a pirate.
Yeah, the thief aspect. But,
right. It's like in Dodgeball, Steve the pirate. He's dressed like a pirate.
And then that only leaves us with our main event. So we got Men on a Mission versus Owen Hart and Yokozuna. Vince, throughout this whole show, was trying to get Lawler to predict who was going to win the main event of In Your House. It was very reminiscent of trying to get Jesse Ventura to pick between the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he kept going back and forth, and Lawler would deflect and not answer it, even at the very end. So this match... Actually, I have a good many notes. This went, near 10 minutes, I think? Yeah. Mo, I thought, was actually pretty frisky in the beginning with Owen as he power slams him.
Yeah.
This is the first we've seen Mabel since his SummerSlam defeat. Owen is actually kind of the de facto face.
Mm-hmm.
Owen and Yoko are the de facto baby faces in this match.
Right.
If you remember from last week, I harped on Harlem Heat and my whipping boy. Which probably shouldn't use that term, but Booker T. Edit. Booker T.
We're live, pal.
Booker T for not being a good de facto babyface. I thought Owen was good here at utilizing that role. I mean, he's gonna be a heel moving forward. But I thought he did a good job, like, using his speed and stuff to get the crowd behind him.
No, I agree. No, he's so seamless. I mean, he knows exactly how to work these matches, right? I mean, he knows what to slip into.
Yeah,
when, yeah, he's,
yeah
he's
I mean,
so
I think most people would say Owen's a better worker than Booker T, but that was just striking, and kind of we saw two examples of that back and forth.
Booker's going to take the weekly beating here on
Wrestling
Warzone.
Booker is going off to the woodshed. Good Lord.
The Campbell Plantation.
he's sleeping in the hen house with Manga. So Mabel gets a cheap shot on Owen when he's running the ropes. Owen makes the tag to Yoko. He wants a piece of Mabel, but Owen was attacking Mo on the outside of the steps. Mabel checks on that, and then they roll Mo back in. That sends us to a commercial break. We come back where the tags are made, and now we get Yoko and Mabel slugging it out. Pretty heated.
Yeah, the crowd was into it. That was fun. Yeah, I like that spot.
Yeah, these two guys going at it. I thought that was the best reaction of the whole night, actually.
Yeah.
Mabel gets a clothesline, which I thought looked good, and then he power slams Owen onto Yoko. And then I like this spot. I thought this was a good Owen spot where you know, Mabel got the cheap kick on him, and he does a receipt where Mo runs the ropes, and he gets a cheap kick into the back of him.
Yeah.
That was a great little spot to play off that. Missile drop kick by Owen for a two count. Did you notice Mo had a weird skull and crossbones on his boots?
They always had that. They had that since they turned heel.
Had he always had that? What was up with that?
Yeah, when they turned heel, they started wearing those. Before the King stuff, like right when they turned heel, they put that on their boots.
It's very strange. Yeah. I didn't remember that, but
they're not thugs.
That was very odd. Yeah, I guess not. I guess they're pirates too, like Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
The pirate game.
Yeah. So Mo catches Owen off the top, gives him a superplex. Yoko breaks up the pin, and him and Mabel go after it again. Yoko sends Mabel to the outside to a nice pop, and then we get the big leg drop from Yoko onto Mo, and Owen pins him as Yoko holds Mabel at bay. So surprisingly, I thought this was a real solid match, actually. I did not anticipate that I would like this match coming in, but, you know, it was good work. So I went 2.25 on this one, and I enjoyed myself a good bit with this match.
Yeah, I enjoyed this more than I expected to as well. So kudos to them. It was a lot of good here. I think the pace helped a lot. Like, they never, for having Mabel and Yoko involved and even Mo, like, they never slowed down. I mean, they just kept going. Mo was sloppy at times, but he hung with Owen best he could. And I like the back and forth. There's not too much heat segments in there, you know, like back and forth, ebbs and flows.
Right.
I thought that helped too. The Yoko Mabel stuff was really fun. The crowd was into it. It felt like just two big bulls colliding in the middle of the ring. We also had a nugget in here too that we found out Diesel's back is still hurt from SummerSlam when Mabel sat on him. So that kind of plays into the final sell for In Your House, which we'll get to in a minute. I went 2 on this, and I could probably be convinced to bump it up a little bit. It was fun. And, yeah, Owen was a workhorse here. And it kind of speaks to my theory, and we can talk about it now maybe for a minute because I don't think we have much more Mabel as far as a spotlight guy. But I feel like he was pretty well-suited for a tag team like this if he had someone better than Mo to work with and if he didn't have a ridiculous purple outfit on, like with the baggy pants and all that. Like, he was pretty good in the come in, have a big monster showdown, get the hot tag maybe, or, you know, whatever, and let the other guy be the workhorse. It's just that Mo couldn't be the workhorse. So, like, they needed someone that could carry him, carry the work for the team, but I think that was his best-suited run. Like, I know they tried. He was young. Why not give it a shot as a top heel singles guy? But I think he was well-suited for a spot like this.
Yeah, I mean, Mo definitely feels like the weak link in this match. Like, I mean, when they're coming out, I was like, oh, Mo's about to take the pin.
Right.
You know? I mean, it didn't seem like that was going to be a surprise at all. Yeah, I mean, Mabel is still, you know, we talked about Lafitte, but it is shocking, like, how young Mabel is.
I mean, right, he's only, like, what, 24? Yeah, 24. Right,
yeah. So it's crazy.
And you get why Vince saw the potential. Like, you could see what he was thinking.
Yeah,
it's just like, and it wouldn't have been as bad if when you. It's to me, it's the whole package: just the name, the tight, the look. You know, just like if they just had a better name and didn't have the big goofy baggy purple shit and Mo mushmouthing his way through everything, like it would have been. You know, I could see what the theory was behind why they gave it a shot.
Almost, if he'd have been dressed like Big Daddy V in the ECW run. But back right. then, I think that would have worked.
Even with the tits out? You don't, not even like maybe
well,
a better shirt?
The tits out. We might well, were they that prominent then? I mean, or did they start sagging later in life?
Depends. I don't know if he nursed. I'm not sure. Yeah. But he, they definitely gave way as he got older. But
definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he could have been certainly better than what we got. Because, yeah, I mean, his quick burst of energy, like, versus Yoko. That was the highlight of this match, that and Owen. You know, I mean, Mo was the weak link of the four, for sure.
Right. I agree.
So, yeah. So, that was a pretty good match. I don't know. Are we going to call this a hidden gem? I don't think it quite reaches that level.
I think we could at least break 3 stars for a hidden gem, right?
Yeah, that was exactly my rationale. I was thinking as I was watching this match, I was like, you know, I thought this match would be crappy. It's actually pretty good. But, yeah, I mean, I couldn't give this match 3 stars, so I don't think it's a hidden gem.
Yeah. I think 3 is a good barrier. If we both hit 3 on a match, I think we go hidden gem.
Well, we can throw it in, as long as it's not famous. Okay.
Right.
And then we basically, that leads us right to our deep sell for the pay-per-view, where we get a Dudes with Attitude promo. I didn't think this was very good. We get kind of Mr. Funny, Goofy Sean, where he talks about, like, Owen's nose growing and compares it to Cornette with all the lies they're telling.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like much. Diesel didn't say much of note either, so I didn't gather a lot of information here.
No, it was, yeah, whatever. It's just like a final reminder, since they weren't really on the show, so it's kind of just,
right, yeah,
hey, here's the main event. Show. You know, don't forget,
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah. Come back from break, we get an in-ring promo with Cornette. This was a little better. I mean, Cornette's a good seller of, he can sell an angle or a program, so he does good here selling it, and that's, you know, a final deep sell for the pay-per-view that was pretty good, saying, you know, they may win, they're going to win either the IC belt or the World Championship belt, and that leads us into our pay-per-view. You know, it's an interesting pay-per-view. There's some good stuff being built up. You know, we talked about with Dean and Razor, and Lafitte and Brett's an intriguing feud. And the main event feud is okay. I don't think it's awful. I don't think it's very good. But kind of interested to see what happens at the pay-per-view. So
yeah,
they did a pretty good job there.
Especially with the lack of time to build it from what we're seeing. I mean, obviously, they were probably building it up on the Cindies and stuff. But for right now, like for what we've seen, 2 weeks worth and one's on a Thursday, that's kind of, you know, thrown together. This whole thing's been cobbled together. They've done a pretty good job. And like the main event was going to sell regardless because all the belts are on the line. It's, you got the four big names. But putting all the heat onto the Razor stuff was smart to add that really back, you know, another match. And then, you know, Brett's going to always be Brett. So you get three good matches to sell this show on. And then, you know, even the rest of the card's pretty good. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to break it down next week. I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, DiBiase got slobbed. So, you know, right. Sid now has to defend his honor. So there we go. So let's go into our end of show awards here. For match of the night, I think we both have the main event, right? Or do
yes.
you have the Kid versus Razor?
No, I had I had tag title match, and then I actually did Kid Razor for segment of the night, but the finish.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
With Dean coming out, yeah. Right. I mean, my segment of the night, I've sort of shoehorned in. You can add the splash, but really the Dean promo, just
right.
because I was worked. I enjoyed that. Your MVP.
My MVP was Kid. Actually, Dean gives it a close, but I thought Kid really came out. He got his big win. I liked the way he worked the match. I thought he I thought he sold the story well of the little brother who's trying to earn the respect of the big guy. And I thought he's been really good in this feud, and I thought he deserves some rub. But I like Dean too, between the interference and the promo on the back.
I did like that they showed the clip from the 93 Raw where Kid won. I thought that was good before the match. And I did go with Dean here. I mean, Shane Douglas is somebody I've never liked. Really hated him. I take 97 in ECW. He's pretty good. He had a lot of heat. I think Francine added a lot to that. But, you know, when he gets into the Pitbull feud and off of that, 97, I enjoy him. By the end of his ECW run, he is so grainy.
Yeah.
And then everything after that is just awful. So I've been pleasantly surprised that I've enjoyed him here.
Mm-hmm.
Commentary, I didn't have anything really besides the Jeffrey Dahmer's mom line.
Yeah, I didn't catch anything either, really.
Okay. No shots fired at all that
nope.
I caught. Okay.
I really don't think we get much from the Raw side, from WWF side for a while.
No debuts. Nothing dropped yet. We did get an angle added, I guess, between Godwin and Sid, but
right.
Nothing dropped. And the rating on this was 2.5.
So
just I don't know.
Nudged out.
Nudged out Nitro. I mean, Thursday night's probably traditionally certainly a better TV night overall. They did have probably heavier competition. This is, what, 95? So they
mm-hmm.
were going up against Seinfeld.
Yeah, Seinfeld would have been on too because we're into
the. Yeah, Seinfeld would have been new. Yeah, so that's interesting that they did a better rating like up against Seinfeld than they did on Monday night the week before.
Well, it depends what time they aired. We don't because Seinfeld was it at 9 at that point? I'm not sure where they were at.
Seinfeld was at 9.
So I don't know where Raw would have been though. This might have been later. Honestly, like in my mind, it was later. But again, it could be fudging.
Well, then that's, but they, you know, even if it was yeah. later, that's probably pretty good for them.
So actually, no, Seinfeld had not started yet. It debuted September 21st.
Ooh.
Oh, no, so, that was this night.
Night.
So, yeah,
so they
the engagement.
Were up against the premiere.
The season 7 premiere, which is the engagement.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd say that's pretty good then. Yeah, because, wow, yeah, like, I mean, Seinfeld at that time was the number 2 show. And I'm looking at Wikipedia. So, God, NBC's lineup was gross on Thursday night on this year. So they had Friends at 8, which was the number 3 show in all of TV. They had The Single Guy for part of the season, which was number 6. Boston Common, which was number 8.
Oh,
you know, clearly just getting a bump
right.
on what they were sandwiched in between. Seinfeld, which was number 2. Caroline in the City. Caroline in the effing City was number 4.
Yeah.
For that year.
That show wasn't bad, though. That used to get pretty good.
It's pump. Okay, yeah. But the number 4 show, too,
right.
I mean, that's
yeah.
just a surprise to me. And then at 10, you have the number 1 show that year, ER.
I want to say, right, so Raw would have even, if it wasn't up against Seinfeld, it was up against ER, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have aired at 11. I wouldn't have thought on a Thursday.
No, I remember
and it
being
certainly
like
wouldn't
10,
have gotten
I feel
a 2.5. I bet it aired at 9, and it just did actually pretty good up against Seinfeld. I mean, the other networks are pitiful for that hour. Like, for that hour, it was New York Undercover on Fox. New York, ABC, the Monroes on ABC, and then New York News on CBS. I've never heard of any of those shows, but,
yeah, so Graham has it as airing on the 18th, but it's clearly Thursday because they say it, so we know that.
Yeah, I mean, they say Thursday.
Right,
yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what time it would have got. Like, I can't imagine it was against Seinfeld. Like, I probably would have been going nuts if it was against Seinfeld. I feel like it was later because I would have definitely been. I was watching Seinfeld by season 7.
Maybe it was up against ER. I mean, either way.
I feel like it might have been 10 o'clock for some reason.
Okay, well, yeah. It couldn't have. I mean, I don't see how it could have got a 2.5 at 11. So it either went up against the number 1 show of the year or the number 2 show, and it did a pretty good rating. So, I mean, you know, by comparison. Like, it did better than the week before. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's real weird. Like, I don't...
Because let me look and see what on Monday night we were looking. I mean, Monday night, you did have Monday Night Football. So that may be something, like, for wrestling fans, that may be more of a, you
right.
know, a competition. Because that would have started. And that was the number 5 show for the year. So that makes sense, I guess. Like, you're up against Monday Night Football at 9 o'clock. So,
yeah, like I cannot find much at all online that this was on a Thursday night. Like it's this whole era is so weird. And Steve Williams backed me up on Twitter. He said he remembers the replays throughout the whole fourth quarter of 95 that they were airing replays on Thursday. So maybe this was a test for the replay. I don't know. The whole thing is weird. There's like nothing about any of these Thursday shows online at all. It's like this odd vacuum. I don't even know who to. I mean, maybe can, I don't know. Maybe we should write to Meltzer and see what the fuck he says. Like, everywhere when you Google it and everything, it's just listed as September 18th. So the whole thing is odd. I mean, the only thing I can think of, Chad, I mean, when did they say Thursday? Was it on commentary or, like, in the ring?
I mean, it was definitely on commentary a few nights where, like, Vince, I think, opens us up by saying, welcome to a special Thursday night edition of Monday Night Raw.
I wonder if it was the debut of the replay. And that's the version they threw on the network.
They threw on the network.
Maybe they updated the commentary to have it, you know, to get over the fact that it was
or
a replay.
Or, like, somehow the live version's distorted or
right.
something.
Or they just fucked up and put this one up, which is very,
yeah.
very likely. Because everything online has it as 9/18. And, like, I remember, like, there's this weird memory I have that this was a replay episode. Because I remember the Dean Douglas attack being, like, shown as part of the replay. And, like, rewatching it. And then the Yoko Owen thing, you know, you said, like, they showed the clips of the match. Like, it is, I don't know. This is weird memory I have that it was on, like, a Thursday night at 10 for whatever reason of this episode. I always remembered it. And I was glad Steve Williams backed me up on it. So I'm really wondering if this was the premiere.
They just
and maybe
the
they
replay.
Updated the commentary. And they put the replay on the network.
Well, maybe.
That's my working theory right now is that this was actually the replay they showed.
Okay. Yeah, because the engagement was the highest rated episode, that whole season, 37.6 million viewers.
Right. That's I cannot monster. Imagine they went head to head with fucking Seinfeld.
That is absolutely monstrous.
And I don't know what USA would have even. They don't have all. What do they have? Of the network like rating listings?
No, it's just a prime. Like the just the prime time network is what I see. I that would have been very ballsy for them to go up against the
And I don't even know what would have been on USA, you know what I mean?
Yeah, who knows. Let me see what the premiere of ER premiered that night, too, and was at 37.5 million. So, yeah, I mean, two just monster ratings.
All right, so I googled USA Network 921.95, and there's actually a commercial. It has 921.95 as a date, and it's the Ryder Cup. But that wouldn't be at night.
Well, they could have done it on delay, maybe.
So this is, someone actually commented, 3 weeks ago, someone commented, this preempted the USA game show block 3 weeks before the game show block left USA after being a staple of afternoons for 10.5 years. So this was during the afternoon. But yeah, I guess they could have replayed it at night, maybe. That's a random find right there.
Interesting. Yeah, so if you know, I'm interested in this. But, yeah, I guess we'll call it a squeaky win for Raw right now.
Yeah. I think it was on that night, and I think this was the replay. That's what I'm going with.
All right. So now I guess all we have to do is our combined awards for the first time. So we're going to do the best show. Oh, our rating. We didn't give our rating.
Oh, right. I went 6 out of 10.
Okay. I went 5.5 out of 10. I thought it was a little better than the Raw we saw the previous week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought it was a good show. Pretty good lead-in into the pay-per-view. I mean, the tag match was a stinker, but besides that, I thought everything surrounding it was good.
Yep, agreed.
So now let's get best show overall. I Raw. Went with Raw. Yeah. What did you say? Okay.
Yep, Raw.
Best match on both shows.
So if we go pure star rating, it would be the main event tag, right?
On Raw.
Yeah, but yeah. I think I liked Razor Kid the best overall because of everything that came with it.
I mean, are we going to do this consensus or?
Yeah, we can try consensus. I mean, I could be convinced. I mean, we can go star ratings. You want to go Men on a Mission, Owen Yoko?
Or do we want to split the difference and just say Fire Pillman?
No, because it was not the best match. All right, okay. Let's go Men on a Mission.
It's pretty good. Mo gets a best match.
Yeah.
The best segment we saw, are we going to kind of throw in the Kid Razor stuff or Savage versus Luger? I think that's probably our two contenders.
I would go Savage Luger. I thought that was just a smidge better.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Better commentary.
I liked Raw better this week.
Yeah, Lawler was pretty good here.
Yeah.
Star of the overall night. That's kind of tough.
Yeah, so you liked Flair on Nitro, I liked Savage, and then I went with Kid, you went with Douglas? Was that your choice for Raw?
Yeah, Dean's my MVP.
Who do you think came out the strongest of everything?
I think Flair probably looked to me like the biggest star.
Okay, let me go Flair.
Just because, I mean, he's a baby face, and they were behind him.
Right, and then the ratings winner was Raw.
Yeah, we talked about Raw as our ratings winner. So okay. There you have it. There's our first combined awards. Pretty good split between the two shows, but I think Raw, you know, on this week I'd give Raw the edge, and we gave Nitro the edge last week.
Yep.
If we'd have done combined awards, so
yeah, we can go back.
One and one.
Maybe we'll go back and chat and add that in so we have a full.
Just add it into our spreadsheet. Yep. So we have canon. Okay.
Okay, cool. All right. So another fun episode. It was I liked both shows well enough. It was nothing crappy yet. We're still chugging along, which is good. Like we talked about, I think we hit a decent stretch of 95 WWF. We kind of missed the junk. So, all right. So next episode, we'll be looking at In Your House 3, our first WWF pay-per-view. I think it's an interesting one to look at. I think it's kind of overlooked historically because of the stretch it's in. So I'm curious your take on it, Chad. So we'll do that, and then we'll be back to the Monday nights, the episode after that. So if you have any feedback for now, just share it on social media. But we are going to be setting up some specific spots, probably a Facebook page, and then as well as maybe a thread of PWO, just so you can provide thoughts so we can read them here on air. PlayStation.com/Amazon for your shopping. Follow our feeds on iTunes, Pro Wrestling Only, PlayStation Wrestling, PlayStation Pop. as well as the GWWE Tag Teams project is going hot and heavy on Facebook. If you want in on that, just let us know too. Anything you want to touch on?
I don't believe so. Don't have anything else going on.
All right, so check all that out. Scott and I had a new episode of Place to Be podcast this past Monday. We were with Pete looking at the January 25th MSG, and then next week we'll be looking at the main event. We'll have a new special guest, actually, for that. We'll save that for Monday. The main event from February of 88.
New guest.
Oh,
that's special.
Okay. He is special in his own way.
Well, special, yes. Quotation mark, special guest.
So we'll talk about that. Looking forward to it. And I think that's it. Otherwise, everyone take care. We'll be back. And until then, smell American the napalm. If they want to talk to you, you better not listen.